I'm Andrew Green with this edition of Flick Pick. This past weekend, I watched Bill and Ted Face the Music. I rented it for $6 on YouTube. Bill and Ted Face the Music was released last year toward the start of the pandemic. It was one of the first movies to get an all or at least partial digital release thanks to COVID. I really wanted to see it at the time, but I didn't because I wasn't yet comfortable with the idea of paying theater prices to stream something at home. While I've since gotten past that, I still didn't see the film until a few days ago, and lucky me, it turns out good things come to those who wait because it was only $6. Anyway, I would gladly have paid $20 for Bill and Ted 3 because I loved it. This film is most triumphant. So, I loved Bill and Ted back when I was a kid and the first one came out in 1989. I was 9 years old when the movie released and my friend and I saw it in the theater with one of our moms. From there, we were Bill and Ted fanatics, quoting them and rewatching the movie over and over when it came out on VHS. We ate the Bill and Ted breakfast cereal and watched the cartoon. We loved Bill and Ted. Then Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey came out in 1991, and I guess by then I had moved on because I never actually saw that film until I was an adult. It's okay in my opinion. A lot of people say it's even better than the first, but I can't get into it because of the surreal nightmare sequences or the stuff with the two furry aliens or whatever, plus the robots. It's just not for me. But here's Bill and Ted 3, like 30 years later, and heck yes, I wanted to see it. I'm so glad to report this handles a 30 years too late sequel about as well as that can be done. In this movie, Bill and Ted are middle-aged and living in the suburbs of San Dimas. We learn that in the last few decades, they did find some success as musicians with their band Wild Stallions, but they never did fulfill their destiny, which was to write a song so good that it would unite all life forms and create harmony in the universe. That's the whole reason Rufus ever helped them out in the first film. He had to help them pass their history report, or Ted's dad was going to send him to military school, killing the Wild Stallions before the band ever even started. So anyway, it's decades later, and even though they have apparently had at least one hit, Bill and Ted never wrote the big song. And off in the future, the stakes have gotten higher. Seems the entire space-time continuum is about to fall apart because of a lack of Bill and Ted's song. I wasn't totally clear on some of the details there, but I guess the universe will end if Bill and Ted don't write the greatest song that anyone will ever hear. They get a hold of a new time-traveling phone booth thanks to Kristen Schaal and decide to seek out themselves in the future where they've already written the song so they can steal it from themselves and bring it back. Okay, so that's the premise. Now, one thing that I really liked about Bill and Ted Face the Music is that our two heroes have grown in this movie. Like, I remember when I saw Dumb and Dumber 2, it felt off in that film that the two characters, Harry and Lloyd, hadn't changed since the first movie. It had been like 30 years, and there was Harry and Lloyd exactly the same as they were in the early 90s. Just total idiots who still act like a couple of 12-year-olds, even though they're now in their 50s. It just felt strange, not right. Two guys in their 50s still can't be as stupid as they were when they were younger. That didn't work in Dumb and Dumber 2. But here in Bill and Ted 3, our heroes have changed since back in the day. They've grown. They're no longer just goofy idiots who run around acting like rambunctious teenagers. They're more mature and measured. They've become skilled musicians now. Both Bill and Ted can play multiple instruments. We hear one song that they've recently written at the beginning of the film, and although it's not good, its parts kind of are. Like, the joke is that Bill and Ted are now desperate to write the greatest song ever, and so now they're just trying anything to see if it'll work. So they're playing this song that's comprised of all these wildly different genres and using instruments that don't really belong together. The individual parts of this song do sound good, but the thing is a mess overall. The point is that Bill and Ted are now multi-instrumental and musically competent. They also live in decent houses with their wives, the princesses from the first one, and they each have a daughter, and both daughters have turned out well. And therefore, Bill and Ted have turned out well. This is all good, and it made the movie satisfying. So, Bill and Ted aren't the same as they were in the earlier films, and the comedy here is more based on what happens to them as opposed to what they do or say. They travel through time, finding different versions of themselves in the future, and they're all amusing. Seems the further they go into the future, the worse things get for Bill and Ted. In one future, they're playing open mic night at a VFW. At another, they've broken into Dave Grohl's house and stolen one of his songs. In another, they're in prison. Meanwhile, Bill and Ted's daughters, Thea and Billy, played by Samara Weaving and Brigitte Lundy Payne, are also traveling around history, collecting talented musicians from the past to form a band for their dads. The movie cuts back and forth between the two sets of characters, and I really didn't mind it. You see, the daughters here are both likable, and the actresses playing them do a great job of coming across like the kids of Bill S. Preston Esquire and Ted Theodore Logan. They resemble and kind of act like their dads without going into imitation territory. Plus, they're both smarter than their dads were at that age. So the scenes with the daughters are fine, and the movie does not make the mistake of having too much focus on them. Remember when I reviewed Coming to America 2? That movie focused almost entirely on the son of King Akeem, and he wasn't that interesting of a character, so that didn't work. In this movie, the daughters are interesting, and they're not the only focus. We cut back to Bill and Ted frequently. So, Kristen Schaal plays the Rufus of this film. As we know, George Carlin is sadly dead now, so there's no way he could have been brought back as Rufus. So here, Schaal plays Rufus's daughter. She's got her own thing going on with her own mother in the future, who's trying to kill Bill and Ted because she thinks that'll save the universe. Anyway, Kristen Schaal is a welcome addition to the movie. She's funny, and her character gives tribute to George Carlin, or Rufus. The jokes in Bill and Ted Face the Music are adjusted for the ages of its characters, and they work for the most part. I especially like some couples therapy sessions that Bill and Ted had to do with their wives, the princesses, who otherwise have almost nothing to do in this movie. The addition of Jimi Hendrix and Louis Armstrong to the film as characters that the daughters lure out of the past is a nice touch. The future scenes are all fun, and the movie finally takes our characters back to hell where we once again encounter death. All of that stuff was fun, and I welcomed it. Okay. So, do Bill and Ted finally write a song so good that it saves the universe? Sort of. And I will say that the film comes up with a great ending that I liked and thought really worked. The movie ends in a corny way, but it also made me happy. Bill and Ted were back, I liked the daughters, I liked Kristen Schaal, I liked death. It was all just lighthearted and amusing and not too long. This film, I don't think, cracks 90 minutes, and that's fine. We get a big everybody dance sort of ending, and it ends triumphantly. Original Bill and Ted screenwriters Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon come back to write this film, and it's a loving send-off that is not desperate or just longing to relive the past. It's doing something of its own while still allowing its characters to grow and move on to the future. It's well-paced and the effects are adequate. I should have watched Bill and Ted Face the Music back when the pandemic was in its infancy, and I could have, because I think it would have helped make me feel better. Not completely, of course, but better. Bill and Ted Face the Music put a smile on my face and nearly a tear in my eye. I loved it. I give Bill and Ted Face the Music a 4 out of 5 for this edition of Flickr.